The only time salvation has ever been boring in my Christian life is when I wasn't right with Him. And salvation is absolutely exciting. I tell everybody everywhere I go, I'm so saved it's pathetic this morning. And I'm a spoilt, rotten child of the King. And God has been good to me. God has blessed my life. God has took care of me. God has done more than I could ever imagine. And I think about young folks. This is Youth Sunday. And I love young people because I still is one. Amen. And I'm telling you something. I think about young folk. When they think about the will of God, the first thing they think about most of the time is marriage. And especially if they're not married. And I don't tell you young folks, and y'all going to laugh at me, and I don't know why we think like this as young people, but I thought to do the will of God was going to be a boring life. And I thought if I did the will of God for my life and marriage, God was going to give me some ugly thing that I just didn't particularly like. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? And we've got this mindset of the will of God. Well, if I do the will of God, God's going to put me in the bottom of Africa and I'm going to be miserable the rest of my life. And everybody's got that attitude. Well, I'm not in the bottom of Africa this morning. And if I was and it was the will of God, I'd probably be a grinning just like I am now. And God didn't give me some ugly thing to marry. Matter of fact, that's the prettiest thing I ever seen. Amen. And we are having the time of our lives serving God together. And it gets better every day. And I mean that with all my heart. God's doing exciting things. I never thought that my life would end up like this, preacher. I never thought it. But here I stand this morning, saved by the grace of God. Ah, I like it, amen, I like it. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to give you this morning, very familiar passage of Scripture, but don't let familiarity rob you of a blessing. And we want to help you this morning. It's our desire that God would do a work in people's lives. I don't know hardly half of you this morning, and probably not even that, but I don't know anybody here. Preacher ain't called me and loaded my wagon about who's saved, who's lost, this is happening, that's going on. I don't know an absolute thing. So all I ask out of this church is you mind God. Because if I say it, I don't know a thing about it. I like it when it's like that. Because I like it when the Holy Ghost of God runs up your tater row and deals with you and where you're at. But we do need revival. We need our young folk to get set on fire with God. And I'll tell you something. Somebody once said this. Well, why ain't our young folks running and shouting and carrying on and getting excited about God? Nobody ain't assuring them no more. And I want to tell you something. We need to see that. But let me give this to you this morning. Verse number 11 this morning. We'll stand in reverence of the reading of God's Word. And I want to just read just a few verses here. Won't keep you standing long. Very familiar. But the Bible says, and He said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. Notice that word there, his living. And I think about that word. Most of us men, we go to work every day and we make a living. But notice this, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. There it is again, living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Boy, do y'all remember that day? Hallelujah. Whoo, hallelujah. I remember when I finally realized that, thank God, that I had sinned against the God of heaven. Amen. And boy, what a day that was when I woke up and realized I was just a sinner and I had sinned against Him. And hallelujah. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Notice in that verse right there, he said, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, I want to say before I ever hit that altar that night, y'all, I ain't no Calvinist, Brother Radcliffe, but I will tell you something, God saw me a great way off, amen. Hallelujah. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. Hallelujah. Woo, but that's nothing. Absolutely nothing. But buddy, I tell you, God in His mercy, God in His grace, God, hallelujah. Hey, notice what the Father said. But the Father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe. Did He not give us His best robe? He robed us with the righteousness of His only Son. The best robe. He didn't give us no seraphim. He didn't give us no angel. He didn't give us no bull. He didn't give us no calf. He robed us with His best when He gave us His Son. Bible still says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His best. God clothed us with His best this morning. Are y'all getting that? I'm telling you, I like it. Hallelujah. And He said, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill him, and let us eat and be merry. And I don't want to dig into all that, but I'm telling you, He has fed us down here. But when that trumpet sounds, Brennan, you talk about a day now. You talk about a day, hallelujah. And let me just read this. For my son which was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, you can be seated today and we'll pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your amazing grace. God, I want to thank You once again for giving Your best for me. And Lord, this crowd sitting in this church this morning, whether they're saved or lost, God, You gave Your best for them. Lord, I beg You this morning that You'd move here in a mighty way. God, help us to step outside the rim of time this morning, not to worry about that. God, I pray that You'd move in our midst. Lord, I admit to You this morning, God, it's not me. It's not me, God. I stand in need of Your touch and Your power, God, Your anointing. Father, Lord, I know You can do more in 5 minutes than I can do in eternity of preaching. God, I pray You do that only You could. Speak to hearts and lives this morning. Lord, I beg You, Lord, this be one of them services. It changes our lives forever. Lord, we thank You and we praise You. Lord, I beg You this morning, Lord, if there's someone here lost, You'd save them by Your amazing grace. God, You work in their lives and in their hearts. Father, we love You and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you study this chapter, you find out that the theme of this chapter is rejoicing over something that was lost. The coin was lost, the sheep was lost, the son was lost, and the Bible says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. And I'm going to say this, I don't know exactly why, but God does, but I was meditating on this verse sitting there, and the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I don't know what you're looking for this morning, what it is. People are always looking and seeking for things. Some of us sought for peace in a bottle. We sought for peace in music. We sought for peace in making money. We sought for peace and satisfaction in our lives in all kind of ways. But I'm going to say you'll never find it until you get saved by the grace of God. Matter of fact, I did not find peace Peace found me, hallelujah. Peace came to where I was at. We used to sing that song in the choir there at Victory. The gulf that separated me between Christ my Lord. A gulf, what a gulf that was. I'm going to say this morning, God made a bridge. God made a way. That young man quoted this morning, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me back up and say this morning. He robed us with His best. Contrary to most songs and what they sing about, they sing songs about searching all over heaven if there was anybody that could take a place. But I'm going to say this morning, there was no search made. They weren't walking around the portals of glory saying, Mr. Cherubim, can you die on the cross of Calvary? Bible says in the book of Hebrews that God appointed him that ministry of priesthood. God appointed him in that. He said, the will of my Father I came to do. He said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm going to say this morning, He robed us with His best. He's given everybody in this building this morning a robe to wear, but it is your decision whether you wear that robe or not, whether you get saved by the grace of God or not. Amen. Notice this in this chapter. It's all about rejoicing. Some of you sit here this morning, and we'll come down the invitation time, and I remember when God brought me to that place, and I begin to think, what is everybody going to think? But everybody, I didn't know it. Everybody was sitting there thinking this. Man, I wish they'd get saved by the grace of God. I wish they'd go down to that altar and pray to the God of heaven and get things right with God. Hey, we're not against you this morning. Hey, we are for you this morning. If you're sitting here lost, you are our friend. Hallelujah. Jesus said He was a friend of sinners. I'm telling you, we have got so high-minded, Brother Rashley. I believe some of us have forgotten where God pulled us out of. That used to be down there on the street, some of us. That used to be some of us out there cussing and carrying on. But the grace of God changed our lives. Amen. I like it. Hallelujah. Let me give you this thought. I want to integrate my testimony with it this morning. Notice the Bible says, and He delivered unto them His living. Do you realize that God gave us life this morning? Do you know the Bible says that our life is as a vapor? Do you know that our life is here today, gone tomorrow? Some of you young folks sitting here this morning, I know this is Youth Sunday, and I'm just kind of generally preaching to everybody, but I want to say, do you realize how precious life really is? Do you realize how delicate life really is? Do you realize, and I'm having the time of my life, and when I say delicate, I don't walk around on my tiptoes worrying about dying all the time, but I'm going to say life is short. And you don't know how long that you have on this earth. Young folks, I do want to say this. Those tombstones over there on the other side of the park, not every one of them is somebody that's 90 years old or 100 years old. Hey, there are young folks that are 10. There are young folks that are in their teens. There are some in their 20s. And they died and they went out to meet God, whether they were saved or lost. Notice this. He said, live it. Bible says that He wasted His substance with righteous living. I started studying life just in general. What is life? When you think about it, young folks, I remember when I was some of y'all's age, I thought 30 years old was a dinosaur, decrepit, life was over. But I'm just going to be honest with you, it ain't so bad, amen. I can still walk, pull a rack. I'm not in a wheelchair yet. I still have a good time. But I remember when I thought like that. But here I am, 31 years old. Cannot believe it that it has passed this fast. It seemed like yesterday I was in high school. It seemed like even before that, I would like to go before that when I was playing my Tonka truck, amen. And I never thought about reality. Do you realize how fast your life is passing by? I remember when it seemed like forever, Brother Radcliffe, but the older I get, the faster it is going. And the faster it goes, the more I realize, hey, this thing is going to blow by quicker than I think.
And this young man, notice this, young folks, we tend to not think about how fast life is really going. And then when you really think about it, what is 80 or 90 years compared to eternity? Not a drop in the bucket this morning. Do you realize we are living on the boring side of life? And I say that, I'm not bored, Brother Radcliffe. I'm in that message you preached, but where boredom? And I remember that, but I'm not bored. But when you really look at it, brother, we are living on the slower side of life. When we get on the other side, do you realize how wonderful it's going to be? I ain't got time to dig into that this morning. I want to give you this. I got to looking at Noah Webster and studying the definition of life. And he gave four definitions of life and what life is. Notice this. Number one, he gives the general sense of life. And all that is the state of animals or plants or the organism being in which its natural functions and motions are performed. Now I'm going to say everybody sitting in this building this morning has the general sense of life. If there is somebody here that don't show me, amen. I don't like dead people. But notice this, he says that the general sense of life. You are breathing, you are walking, you are talking this morning, you are able to come into the house of God. I'm going to say whether you are saved or lost, that life came from God, amen. That Darwin crowd, I don't know. Some of you laugh at me when I say this, but I don't know what they're smoking, brother. But I'm telling you, that crowd is crazy. Two asteroids come out of nowhere, brother. And then all of a sudden they collided into each other. And then we have this complex universe and we have this complex life. I'm telling you something, if you just study the human life, the human body, you realize that there is a God in heaven. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Hey, when you walk out those doors, hey, you know what those green trees are saying? There is a God in heaven, amen. Every time the seasons change, it's saying there's a God in heaven. Every time a hawk flies across the sky and lets out a squeal, you know what that hawk is saying? There is a God in heaven, amen. I'm telling you something, have you ever thought about this? That everything that we have comes from the very first day, comes from the first time that God stepped out on nothing and spoke the earth into existence. Do you realize everything that we have came from the original creation? Do you realize that dashboard in that pickup truck or car you ride was here in the original creation? You say, preacher, you weird. No, God gave man the ability to take things that he created and pull together what we got right now. Now, only God could have put everything on this earth that we need. All the elements, all the food, all the animals, all of it just carries right along. I'm going to say Al Gore can say what he wants to about the greenhouse effect. Peter said that this earth is reserved unto the day. I'm telling you, ain't nothing going to happen until God lets it. You realize this morning that just a few feet of the earth being moved toward the sun, that we would burn up, and a few feet away from the sun, we would freeze to death, brother. This thing, God, I'm telling you, if there is not a God in heaven, Brother Radcliffe, we are sadly mistaken. But I'm going to say there is a God in heaven. There is a God that sent this into existence, brethren. You ever study the word rejoice? The Bible says that the earth rejoices. And brother, when you look that up, that word rejoice right there is the same one where the disciples were rejoicing and Jesus said they would rejoice, and it means to jump about and spin. I'm going to say ever since God put this thing in orbit, hey, the earth has been rejoicing in the God of heaven. Hey, the sun brings forth His glory. Hey, the stars and moon. David said, I like what David said. He said, Lord, when I consider thy heavens, the moon and star was thou created. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Amen. If you were sitting here this morning, saved or lost, that general sense of life, God gave it to you. Whether you ever acknowledge it or not, God gave that to you. Whether you ever bow in an old-fashioned altar and get saved by the grace of God, God gave you that life. The atheists can deny. They can say all they want to. But there will come a day, Brother Rackley, when they'll bow before Him and tell Him that He is Lord of glory. I'm telling you something, young folks, when you look at this earth and you look at the politics and you look at everything that's going on, I'm telling you, this thing is about over with. Jesus is a coming back. You better get right with God. You better get saved. You better do business with God this morning. I'm telling you something, He's a coming, amen. The general sense of life. But what about this, the present state of existence? And that is the time from birth to death. Notice this, it is the present state of existence. From the time of birth to death. Let's just do this morning. Let's say that this table is a timeline of my life. And let's just say, I don't know, here I am, April 20th, 1977, got born into this world, and God started my life alone, Brother Rackley, and began to work in my life. God gave me that life. God gave me that life right there. I remember sitting in school writing on a notebook over and over again. I'll never forget it. I remember sitting in school with a notebook writing, like just writing sentences over and over again. I wished I was dead. I wish I'd never been born. I wish that I never knew what life was. And I used to try to imagine what it would have been like if I would have never been put into existence. How better off I would have been. And I used to write that. And I remember writing it over and over again, Brother Rackley, on that notebook paper. I wish I was dead. I wish I'd have never been born. I wish I didn't even know what life was. God gave me that life right there when I was born. God gave me the opportunity to live this morning. Let's say this. I ain't got. Here's this. Y'all have to bear with me. I don't want to break this. Got born. Up here about the age of 18 years old, I got born again. Amen. I've been seeing bumper stickers here lately that says born right the first time. That's not so. I wasn't born right back here, buddy. I was born a sinner. You say, preacher, I'm good. I'm good, preacher, I'm not so bad. I've heard that before. But I'm telling you something. You wasn't born right back here. God gave you that general sense of life. I ain't got time to deal with it this morning, all the detail right here. But I'm telling you, son, God brought me to a place at 18 years old. Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Right there. I remember writing that time, Brother Rackley. You talk about wasted life. That's my thought this morning, is preaching on wasted life. The Bible says that that young man wasted his good with righteous living. Wasted his life. This whole time, preacher, my daddy did the best he could with us, I reckon, in what he knowed. My brother, I never remember seeing my daddy drink a beer. I've heard my daddy cuss twice in my life, Brother Rackley. We weren't raised in a drunkard's home. We weren't raised like that. We was raised in a liberal, deceitful little old Southern Baptist church. I never heard one man of God preach against alcohol. I never heard nobody preach against liquor drinking. I never heard nobody preach against premarital sex, which is what the Bible calls fornication. I never heard nobody preach against worldly music. I never heard nobody warn me against AC/DC and all that crowd and Hank and the rest of that crowd. Nobody ever told me. I never heard one preacher preach that it was wrong to look at pornography. I wonder how many, you'd be surprised at the folks sitting in this building this morning that gets on that computer and bust out that pornography. We're running across more and more of that, Brother Rackley. Nobody in this time told me that. Nobody told me. Preacher, I remember, and Lord knows my heart, I don't much like talking about it, but I remember here in this time, I remember in fifth grade, sipping the bottle out of bottles at my buddy's daddy's house. He's a drunkard. I remember getting in the basement of Papa's house, and he had some cough medicine and started sipping on that cough medicine in the grade of fifth grade and starting a lifestyle like that. You never know what's in your calls that's going to affect them young folk. Some of you are sitting here this morning with scars from that time. And you cannot do nothing with them. I mean, the Lord's helped me. It don't bother me. I'm not there no more. Let me give you this. The present state of existence. But number three, you see the manner of living. The conduct in regards to morals. What is your manner of living this morning? How do you live? How are you living out your life right now? What are you doing with your life? The whole point of this message, the Father gave that Son what He had. Whether you were saved or lost this morning, God gave you that life. Some of you saved folk are wasting the goods. Let me hit another rap here real quick. Some of you are wasting the goods that God gave you when you got saved. Some of you are grieving the Holy Ghost to God. God gave you the Holy Ghost as a comforter when you got saved. And the best you can do with Him is grieve Him and not obey God. Some of you are wasting the goods that God gave you. You're wasting your life. I ain't got time to deal with it. There's saved folk wasting their Christian life with bitterness. You know what bitterness is? All bitterness is, it's you drinking the poison hoping it hurts the other person, but it ain't hurting nobody but you. I don't want to run that track this morning. Some of you just need to chew on that. You are wasting your Christian life. You're wasting what God gave you. And we see the manner of living in regard to conduct and morals. And then we see this, the fourth definition. It's the condition, the courses of living in regard to happiness and misery. How are you this morning? Can you stand up and sing, "It is well with my soul"? It is well with my soul. Can you stand up this morning and say, "God's been good in my life"? Can you stand up this morning and say, "Preacher, it's good to be saved by the grace of God"? Is it well with your soul? Preacher, I think about this. Let me give y'all this. Started into that lifestyle. Man, I remember Brother Rackley, my eighth grade teacher. And I'm telling you, young folks, education is important. Started in that lifestyle, got an eighth grade, me and my buddy Harley, I'll never forget it. My principal came to me and he said, "Matthew, if you'll be good the rest of the year, I'll pass you." You know what society will do to you? They'll just pass you on. You know what they'll keep doing to you? They'll just push you on. Well, let's do this. You know why we have such a problem with prescription drugs nowadays? Because it's their answer. That's like some of y'all's answers about raising children. Just plop them up in front of television. Don't spend time with them. Just push them on. Well, you keep pushing and see where they wind up at. Society, Brother Rackley, I've got it in our family. We've got a family member. They just dope her up and push her aside. And it never deals with the problem. Never has. My teachers, my principal, "If you'll be good the rest of the year." Had 2 weeks left to go. He said, "If you'll be good the rest of the year, we'll pass you on." That's what society will do for you. The music singers don't care. Hey, young folks, let me ask you this. If their lifestyle is so great, all them singers, all them that they sing, and if it is so great, why does half of that crowd wind up in dryout clinics? Why is half of that crowd? They made a big hero out of Johnny Cash. He was a heroin addict. They make a big deal out of these country singers nowadays. Most of them fornicate. Most of them only sing about the adultery. It's not a good lifestyle. They are lying to you. They are lying to you. The influences in my life. Y'all are going to laugh at me, but do you know one of the main reasons, Brother Rackley, we thought it was absolutely awesome to run around and drink and carry on? Because one of our heroes, Hank Williams Jr., Sing about whiskey bent and hell bound. Sing about drinking and carrying on and partying and making that lifestyle look great. And we thought, man, we've got to do that. But I found out, brother, it wasn't so great. I found out, young folks, I destroyed some of the best years of my life that I cannot get back. I destroyed high school. I can't get it back. Hey, God is trying to do something with some of y'all's life, but you are resisting Him. Where are you at? You might be 18. You might be 30 this morning. You might be on up here. Where are you at? Preacher went to high school, played ball, so they just pushing him home. If he plays ball, nobody cared. Nobody cared. Nobody give a rip. Got to high school, preacher went absolutely AWOL. They sent me to an alternative school. Got in that alternative school, and that never made much good sense to me. They put all the bad kids in one place, and it was just like it exploded. But I got into more there. Got in that alternative school, they kicked me out of there and said, that's enough. I remember in high school, we was in high school, and I remember Brother Rackley, me and my brother, we'd run around together and carry on and this, that, and the other. And I remember in high school, and I'll never forget this, Brother Rackley, I'll never forget as long as I live. You know how they vote most likely to succeed? Most likely, most popular, best dressed, and all that? I'll never forget it. I got it voted by my class. Most likely to become town drunk. Mercy. And we all laughed and we all carried on. And I was sitting there laughing with them and carrying on and thinking, man, that's good. But boy, on the inside, Brother Rackley, that wasn't so funny. I remember in public high school, they'd give us these papers and stuff. You know, you'd fill out what kind of occupation you want. Or they would make you answer questions to try to lead you to what you wanted to do with your life. And I never seen one under there where it said, I want to lay under a bridge with a bottle in my hand. They never showed me, we got a boy working for us right now. If he's here, he'd stand up and tell you, young folks. We got a boy working for us right now that was class president, graduated high school, and got no teeth in his head. Got a lung disease now because of meth. Ruined his life. We don't even know what's going to happen to him because of that lung disease. I tell you, young folks, you've heard all your life. I sit and watch them laugh at me when I preach like this preacher. They say, preacher, I'll never be like that. You do not know. I got another boy I went to school with, A honor roll all the way through school. And it's a miracle of God he made it because it was his daddy's bottles that we're sipping the bottom out of. Brilliant young man. Absolutely brilliant, brother. All in college prep classes. Bright future ahead of him. Now you can't even carry on a conversation with him. Jumped out of the truck while it was rolling the other day. Just AWOL. What are you doing, young folks? Let me ask you this. What are you doing, all you folks, today? What are you doing with this? And see, the thing about this, you don't know when it stops. The rapture could happen. But as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this a judgment, that could happen, death. You don't know what could happen in your life. I never forget it. They voted me that in school, and everybody's laughing. I remember I was standing on Frozen Creek, preacher, and I worked for the state of North Carolina. I had a man that I worked with named Alvin Honeycutt. And he is 60 years old right now in a nursing home walking on a walker. He'd come to work drunk. Now, I remember one day standing down on Frozen Creek, I said, Al, did you ever think it would turn out like this? And that grown man stood there on Frozen Creek with tears running down his face. Matthew, I never thought it'd turn out like this. I never thought it'd be this bad. He couldn't get away from it. Lost everything he had. Lost it all. Sin. My brother, he is wild as an Arab. We're both wild. And I'm not proud of that. I hope I don't sound like I'm some people, they
almost brag where they come from. I don't want that. We were sitting up on the mountain one night, Brother Rackley. The house carrying on just like normal. Man, there's a lot of things that happen in there. I don't understand God's grace. I don't understand God's mercy. My brother was at a party one night, drinking and carrying on, wandered off out in the woods and fell on his back and puked, dying in his own vomit. Our cousin was in another drunken stupor and just, miracle of God, stumbled out through the woods, found my brother laying there trying to breathe and gurgling in his own vomit, and rolled him over and cleaned his mouth out and beat on his back till he started breathing again. About 7 months later, that same cousin, doing some sort of dope, I don't understand it, gave himself a brain aneurysm and died and went to a devil's hell. If you was open up hell tonight, my cousin Dean would scream, preach, preacher, preach.
Yes, sir.
If you was to open up hell this morning, my cousin Dean would say, young folks, you better listen. Some of you are just starting to dabble with some music. Some of you have been raised right. You've been raised in this atmosphere. I know some sitting in here ain't dabbling with that. Dabbling pornography. You go ask that man sitting down there in the jailhouse that's raped all kind of women where it started at. I promise you. We're sitting up on the mountain one night. I'm going to get into the good part. We're sitting up on the mountain one night where we all used to party and carry on and drink. And a bunch of us boys was sitting up there drinking one night, just carrying on. My brother was there. There were several guys there. And I remember as well as I'm standing here, I was sitting there and I had a fifth of white liquor in my hand. And God, the Holy Ghost, said, son, you know there's something better to life than this. Hallelujah. I started crying and trembling and shaking with that bottle in my hand. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was doing like that and I started screaming at all them guys. I said, there's got to be something better to life than this. There's got to be something better to life than this. He see me afar off. Woo! Hallelujah. Wished I was dead. I wished I'd have never existed. I wish I'd have never been born. Is there a God? Why is my life like this? Sitting up on that mountain, there's got to be something better to life than this. And I remember I got so tore up and cried that it blowed the party. My brother got mad. They took me to the house. And I remember going to the house and puking my guts out. Boy, sin's really great. And I remember I started going to church trying to do better, Brother Rackley. We was kind of raised in church. We didn't know nothing about God. We was kind of raised in church. I couldn't have told you much of nothing about the Lord. But brother, man, I went that time when God dealt with me. And I just tried to do better. I started going to a church and the preacher run off with a piano player. And I said, man, I'm going to tell you something. If that's the best this crowd's got, I don't want nothing to do with it. That's exactly what I said. I said, this church crowd, but I'm going to tell you something. There ain't one hypocrite. There ain't one preacher. There ain't nobody on this earth worth dying and going to hell over. Amen. Nobody. And I remember trying to do better. And I remember one night, old Gary Brown. You remember Gary Bob, the deacon over there at Victory, Preacher Adcock's church? And brother, I remember Gary Brown, quiet young man, come by our house on New Year's night. He come by the house and he said, talking to my brother, he said, John, you want to go to church tonight? John laughed at him and said, man, it's New Year's night. I ain't going to no church. It's the biggest party night of the year. Are you crazy? And Gary kept on, you know, and John showed him a bunch of beer and junk in his truck. He said, I am not going to church tonight. Gary persisted. He said, John, we're having a watch night service. He said, watch night service? What in the world is that? We didn't know what that was. Gary said, well, what we do is we have a service and eat and then have another service and bring in the New Year's like that. My brother said, you eat? That's the Lord's honest truth. He said, you eat? He said, I'll tell you what, Gary. He said, I'll go to church with you tonight. He said, man, you'll sit there and I'll go to that service and we'll eat. And then we'll go to that party. That thing will be right about then. We didn't know no better. My brother, Gary, now I'm not for lying, but Gary lied that night. Gary said, okay. He wasn't going to no party. He's saved. He went to church that night, wheeled up there in the parking lot, had all that beer and liquor sitting right there in his truck, jumped out of the truck, went in the church house, And some young preachers got up and preached about like I am this morning. He said, "Oh, Brother Chris Norris ripped and reared and tore against alcohol and preached against fornication and worldly music." Said he done thought they went up there and looked in his truck. Y'all remember that feeling? Who told on me? You brought me here and you told that man everything I did. No, God knows about you. He went in church that night, sat there, and said he made it through all that preaching. Said they went over there to eat, and he got done eating. He said, "All right, Gary, let's go to that party." Gary said, "John, I ain't going to no party tonight. I'm talking about life, young folks. What is life to you?"
Yeah.
Gary looked at John and said, "I ain't going to no party." Brother got mad, upset, started storming out the door. And I'll never be able to repay this man for that. Preacher Adcock grabbed my brother by the arm. Going out of that fellowship hall, and he said, "Son, where are you going?" Now, we didn't have much sense, but we had a little sense. And you didn't tell no preacher that you was going to drink, carry on. And my brother kind of hem-hauled around there, and he said, that preacher looked at him. He said, "Son, we love you." And my brother said, when he looked at him, eyeball to eyeball, and said, "Son, we love you." He knew that preacher meant it. Sure. See, what we didn't know is that preacher worked with our daddy up there at that plant. Worked. My daddy worked with your daddy, worked with all that crowd. We didn't know that preacher worked with our daddy up there, and that our daddy had two boys, and he'd been praying for two Morgan boys. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He looked at John and said, "Son," he said, "we love you." He said, "We got a surprise for you. We want you to hang out." John said, "Surprise? You know what that surprise was?" His old brother, Dwight Banks. Old mountain preacher. Some of y'all been around Brother Dwight Banks. We ain't never seen nothing like that. We had never been around no... Y'all know how he is. He's still like that. I don't know if you've seen him in a while, but he still let a rip tater chip.
Yeah.
He got up and preached. Just picked right up where that young preacher left off. My brother got saved that night. January 1st, 1996. He come home that night and told Mommy he had gotten saved. Now, y'all going to laugh, but this really happened. He said, "Mama, guess what happened tonight?" She said, "What, John?" She said, "I got saved." Mama said, "You've been drinking again, boy." That's exactly what she said to him. Brother Rackley, we was going to a family get-together, a New Year's party the next day, just a little get-together to celebrate New Year's with some of our family. My brother was in the truck, two of our buddies in the truck, and I was in that truck. And John told us all he'd gotten saved. We started making fun of him. "John Morgan, you stinking drunk, you'll be drinking again tonight, man. What is wrong? You are crazy." We made so much fun of him. I mean, railed on him, Brother Rack. Aggravated him to death. I don't know. He had got a tract, a gospel tract. About 2 months before he'd gotten saved, some of the ladies of Victory was out in front of the beer store where we used to get our beer, handing out tracts, and one of them gave John a tract. Actually, it was Gary's little sister, Cindy. And she'd give John a tract that night, and he stuck it in the door of his truck. He bowed up his truck in the middle of the road. We was making fun of him. I didn't know what he was fixing to do. He jumped out of his truck, grabbed that gospel tract. There was this boy walking down the street. He jumped out and said, "Son, Jesus loves you." Got back in the truck and he said, "I told y'all I got saved." James said, "I'll show thee my faith by my works." Amen. He didn't know that scripture, but he's a doing it, brother. He went from every day of drinking, every day of carrying on. There, I am not lying. I'm not excited about it. But during his time period, he drove the school bus for the public school. And I can take you to the girl to this day where she'd have to sit on the front seat and help my brother remember where the bus stops was because he's so drunk. Miracle of God. Miracle. I can take you to that girl today and she can tell you she remembers helping John do that. From all that. He went crazy. Some of you come here this morning. What are they shouting about? What is everybody excited about? Why do you holler at church? Why is that preacher spitting and snorting and carrying on? Hey, we're excited, amen. God changed our lives. I'm talking about he went from AWOL to AWOL. He went from crazy to crazy. Some of y'all understand what I'm saying. Hey, John, we're glad you got saved, but you got too much, buddy. How many of y'all been told that? He kept on.
We all thought he lost his mind. I wouldn't hang out with him. And then there's having revivals at that church. He said, Matthew, will you go to church with me? Nah. Man, and some of them boys I was hanging out with had heard about that church, and they said, they're crazy. I believed them. My brother kept on, so I finally broke. I'm trying not to keep y'all all day. Y'all bored? Well, they keep on making food. But I remember he went, I didn't understand it. I'd never seen him drink again. He said he drank one time after that. Some of them good old boys from down around where we live at said, John, we're going to take you to a Christian place. We're going to take you down here. You might meet a good Christian girl. You know where they hauled him off to? A bar. And my brother thought, well, these boys, you know, he's a new Christian. He said, Brother Eckley, he took him a shot. And then he said he went to take another. And the Holy Ghost of God said, son, if you do that. John said he took it, shot, slammed it down on that bar, started screaming at them boys. He said, I am saved. I cannot do this. You either take me home or I'll walk home. Hey, that's the difference between somebody that's saved and somebody that's lost. You know why you can. You know why you want to. It's because you are not saved by the grace of God. I can go out of here this morning, buy all the beer I want to, listen to what I want to, but I don't want to no more. God took that desire, amen. Having a big revival. Will you go with me? It's Thursday. I said, well, I guess so. Guess who was preaching that night? Old brother D.Y. Banks. I went in that church that night, Mr. Spiritual. I'd actually said a few prayers for my brother after I'd up that night up on that mountain. I remember it, preacher. I remember as real as I'm standing here. And that night up on that mountain, you know what, sinner friend? From that night on that mountain, several months, God never dealt with me again. I went to church that night, and I'm telling you, I walked in there, and I thought just like some of you are thinking here, they are crazy. I went in there, bro, and I mean, they got to singing and shouting. That choir, you remember that choir was? They looked like they had 1,000 teeth as a grinning so big. There's a singing, shouting. Brother Jeff Brown jumped up on the pew in front of him. Woo! Like that, dove over the pew in front of him. Went running around the church house. Miss Cindy Jarvis threw her hands up and got to screaming. I said, them boys are riding this crowd is crazy. I sitting right behind her when she let it. You ever heard her yell? Yeah. My goodness, it sounded like an old panther up in the woods. She yelled and I sunk down in my seat. Oh, goodness. Scared me to death. I'd never been around nothing like that. Nobody rejoiced. And was it? How many Christians was you around that was excited? I don't remember one person that was excited about God. I remember a couple in high school that carried their Bibles and lived right and done right. I tell you something, I saw something real that night. You know what our young folks need? Something real. Man, they got the singing, shouting. Old brother Dwight Banks got up there and got up. I saw, man, I ain't ever seen nobody act like that. And they take up an offering and pay him to do that? I just did not know, bro. He got up and preached. Just like that night on that mountain, they come down that altar call. There I stood, trembling, under conviction. I remember I walked away that night. I remember I went to work that next day, and another boy that had been there at that church, I said, you going back to that church tonight? He said, no, I don't know about that crowd. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I said, I'm going to go back and hear that crazy preacher one more time. But do you know if I'd have died that day on the job, I'd have been in hell? If something would have happened that day, I'm afraid some of us don't realize that. Yeah, preacher, I've got the tiger by the tail. Preacher, life is fine. Preacher, things is going to be all right. I'm young. I got my whole life ahead of me. How many times have we heard that? I had a young man shake a big wad of money in my face and say, preacher, I am fine. Leave me alone. Used to drink, carry on with that young man. He said, Matthew. More than 6 months later, that boy in a Mustang went off into eternity. Another one walked off the end of a boat dock and drowned, died in a drunken stupor. Another young man that we'd witnessed to just died here last year, ran off the side of the road that was doing some dope in a car and a Corvette and flying up a road, died. You never know.
You keep toying around with your life. Sitting there in that church, walked away. Went back up Friday night. And I'll never forget it, brother. Same thing, choir still had their 1,000 teeth. Brother Jeff still shouting, Miss Cindy still excited. I mean, they was tore out of their frame. I'd never been around nobody like that. I thought to have fun, you had to drink to do that. I thought to have fun, you had to go out and be mean and things of that nature. I didn't know what life was till I got saved. Same thing happened. He got to preaching. I was standing there and I went down to that altar. I got down to that altar and I'll never forget it. Preacher Adcock got beside me. He didn't 1, 2, 3 me. He didn't do none of that. I'll never forget it. He looked at me and he said, "Son, have you ever been saved?" You know, that's a, I don't know. It's probably like that around here. You know, you have to get people lost before you can get them saved nowadays. You don't hardly run across anybody and say, "Well, preacher, I'm lost." That was the first time I ever got honest with God, anybody else, or myself. And I looked at that preacher and I said, "No, sir." And I don't care what nobody thinks this. There she went. There she went. Hallelujah. I tell you, when I got honest, I prayed. And I couldn't hardly exactly tell you what I prayed. I know I prayed to Him. It's not no deep, hard thing. I didn't even know what repentance was that night, but it happened. I like it. I didn't know what the word repent was. And all that is turning from and turning to. With a heart, man believes. Do you know that night in that pew when I walked out, there was a turn. Hallelujah. You know that's why some men testify and say, "I believe I got it when I come out of that pew." You know why? Because there was a turn. Hallelujah. There was a turn. Amen. That's why they testify to that. That's why they say that. It's real. Amen. Finally turning. I prayed. I got up and I told my brother. I said, "I just got saved." He was over there beating that altar. I'll never forget. He was beating that altar. And I said, "John, I just got saved." That was the first time he ever worshipped. He went crazy. He had a pair of them. All we had, preacher, was them. We had them Marlboro Mile boots on. Our daddy gave us his lungs for us to have a pair of boots. He got up off that altar. I told him I got saved. He took off running around that church like a wild. Grabbed Brother Banks and gave him such a hug. Brother Banks had to have back surgery because of that hug. That is no lie. That's the honest to the Lord's truth. Just excited. You know what I ain't done since that day? Here I am, 18 years old. This ain't happened since then. Lord, I wish I was dead. I wish I'd have never existed. I am so glad that I exist today because of that day and that I am able to meet Him and have fellowship with Him. Amen. I am glad I'm alive. Hallelujah. He said, "I came to give life and give it more abundantly," and He meant that. I remember that night. I left the church that night, and I remember the Ballards was there. They live right up the road from us now. And the Ballards, they said, "Well, why don't you come down to our house and we'll celebrate you getting saved." So I rode down to Green River and his wife made us some coffee and cakes and Gary picked around on his guitar a little bit and sang. And we celebrated me getting saved. Hallelujah. I never heard of it like that. I remember I rode home that night and I cut across Pinnacle Mountain. When I got up there, it was that spot where God had dealt with me when I had that fifth of liquor in my hand. And from up there on top of the mountain, you can see Brevard. You can see off the backside Greenville easily, all that direction. And you can see Hendersonville and Asheville from there. And I'll never forget it, brother. I looked off the side of that mountain that night. And it ain't about feelings. It's not. I'm going to tell you something, it felt good. I remember looking over that and feeling brand new. I really did. I remember that instance in my mind right now, feeling brand new. And you know, ever since then, here I am, my present state of existence. 18 years old, got saved. Went into work that Monday, and there's used to come in telling about what we'd been into and things like that. And they said, "Matthew, what'd you get into this weekend?" "Well, I was kind of timid, you know, honestly." "So, well, I went to church Friday and I got saved." That's all. Okay. Then they was really looking at me kind of funny when I took the calendar off the wall. When the radio station started changing.
Yes, sir.
when my attitude started changing. We used to coon hunt all the time, drink, carry on, and then I was coming into work with my eyes about welded shut. Well, not really. Sometimes it was like that. Been in revival meeting for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
I didn't know what liberal was. All I know, somebody said revival. I'm going, amen. You remember those days? Man, we'd go testify, shout, and now I look back and half of that crowd didn't like it. Hallelujah. I don't care, amen. It was worth getting saved. Hallelujah. Now, here I am. It ain't so far. So sit about right there. 31 years old. You say, preacher, do you got any regrets in that time? I do. I wish I'd have served more. Wish I'd have been more obedient. But I do want to tell you something. You talk about life. You talk about a good time. I don't even need to get started right here. I tell that just so I can tell about this. But man, we're going to have revival to tell about that, because God has been good in my life. If you'd have told me about back right here that God had saved me and called me to preach, I'd have laughed at you and probably cussed. You're crazy. I ain't nothing this morning, but He is.
Amen.
This thing is absolutely real. There ain't no doubt about it. It is so real.
Yes, sir.
It is so real. Here I am in this time. You know what God's done to me in this time? He has spoilt me rotten. Do you ever look around, sister, and say, I wonder if God treats everybody else like this? I wonder if God just couldn't everybody else. Do you reckon He is? I suppose He is. Them old timers, you know what they'd I'd go bouncing in at nursing home all excited and carrying on, and I'd say, boy, ain't God good? And they'd always say the same thing. Matthew, He'll be good if you let Him. Some of you sitting here this morning, do you know God would be good to you if you'd let Him? In salvation and in your Christian life. God don't save folk just to abuse them. Everybody's got this idea. I remember I thought God was up there with a lightning bolt in His hand just waiting for me to mess up. So He'll do that sometimes. But boy, I've found more mercy than I have wrath. I have found more mercy than I have wrath. Present state of existence. Is it well with your soul? There might be some sitting here this morning that's still looking for peace. When my brother got saved, my mama said, John, you need to go see a psychiatrist. I still think that every now and then. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about. I love to death. He's one of my good friends in my life. And God did that for us. God did that for us. But when we pray, I got so much on my heart, I'm liable to keep y'all till tomorrow. It's just good this morning. I feel like old drunk. I feel like going around giving everybody a hug and kiss this morning. This thing just good, amen. Did you ever think it'd be this good? Do you know how long it took me to get from that pew to that altar and get saved? Less than 5 minutes. Do you realize what that 5 minutes has done to the rest of my life? Do you realize what eternity holds because of that? I mean, He did a whole lot more.
Amen.
I'll tell you this and I'll close. I'm just excited to be here. I'm excited about God. My brother tells folks when we go price a job, he'll tell them two things. And if we get the job, he'll tell them, he'll say, well, if Jesus comes back, you'll have to get the Antichrist to cut these trees because we won't be here.
Amen.
And normally you'll find out real quick whether they're saved or lost. Some of them will say, well, if Jesus comes back, the Antichrist can have the house and the trees.
Yeah.
And then some of them will look at you like, and then he'll tell them something else. Every time it never fails. He said, sir, ma'am, I'm going to tell you something. If I could put what I had in a bottle, I'd put Budweiser out of business in a day.
Amen.
Some of y'all remember those days having to drink for that peace?
Yep.
Having to do this for that peace and that for that peace?
Yep.
But then peace came to you?
Yeah.
Me and my wife have been going through some things here lately. And I'm telling you, Brother Rackley, it's just amazing. You can be in the midst of absolute chaos and you just, peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Hallelujah. You can be right there in the midst of all that and still Yeah, brother, the world does hate us. And the world is against us. Peace, peace. Wonderful peace. And all that. The Father, hey, young folks, what kind of life you live? Present state. You got this. I was 18 when I found out what life was really all about. And here I got all this. Here I am, 31 years old. And I'm hoping the Lord will come back, just to be honest with you, because you talk about a time. We'll shout. I don't know somebody that good, but you. I hope you like me, because you're getting me for eternity, amen. Yeah. 31 years old. So saved, I can't hardly stand it.
Yeah.
Y'all ever get like that? So saved, you can't hardly stand it?
Amen.
Riding down the road, you turn the windshield wipers on because you think it's raining outside, but it's coming out right there. You tell me this thing ain't real and good. I'm telling you. Show me. What kind of life? You have no idea. And I'm telling you something. I didn't know what life was till He saved me. When this young man got back to that father, the father gave him a robe, killed the fatted calf. You know that this is good. Y'all like this. I'll tell you this. Brother Rick, that father forgave that son. Do you know what one of the best definitions of forgiveness I ever heard in my life was? The definition of forgiveness, a good definition, I think it's in Noah West, is treating someone like they never did it. Do you know what he's been doing since here? He had been treating me just like I never did it, amen. He had been treating me like I never was here. He had been blessing my life like I never lived like that. He had been treating me like I never did it, amen.